It's a big night. These are nights and days of a lot of barakah and blessings. This is the month of Muharram, and as I mentioned a little bit yesterday, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has within these days given us azim, great barakat and blessings, virtues, mercies. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates a hadith. In this hadith, Hazrat Ghawth Pak Abdul Qadir Jalani rahmatullahi has also mentioned and included this hadith in his Malfuzat, that Ashura, which is this coming Thursday, the day of Ashura, on that day, if a person keeps a fast, then due to that fast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate for 40 years, equivalent to 40 years of sin for that person. Allah ta'ala will annul, void. And there's so much barakah from that day, that if a person on the day of Ashura, that if an individual on his ahyal, on his the folk at home, his family, if he demonstrates goodness, and this means from the heart, if he spends on that day the family food or the needs, necessities, as we discussed, the person who spends on his family, on his household, and he's generous and spends from his pocket, then due to the barakah of this action, Allah Ta'ala will give them ease the whole year round, and muflisi and poverty will not be experienced by the family. So we should keep the fast, alhamdulillah, and we should also spend on the family, allow the family to benefit, and according to our capacity, we should spend the day a little bit differently. We should cook according to the children's desire or need or interest. There should be happiness. There shouldn't be any discontent. There shouldn't be any argumentation. There should be happiness on the day of Ashura. And another fazilat, another virtue of the day of Ashura, on the night of Ashura, the night before the day, like the night of Ashura, because if Thursday is Ashura, then the night before that, in other words, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, alhamdulillah, then that is the night of Ashura. So the night of Ashura, if an individual on the night of Ashura does ibadah, worship, does the dhikr of Allah, remembers Allah during the night of Ashura, preceding the day of Ashura, then Allah has put a unique reward for this. Allah says that person's death will come in such a way that he will not even feel that his death is taking place. Subhanallah. What great ni'mas, what great blessings in these days that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. So this is the fazilat, the virtues of Ashura. But the Sahaba Ikram requested that, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this fast is not fard. It is not a wajib, it's not compulsory, it's not essential, but some actions Allah has put a lot of rewards. And don't fall into deception. Shaitan says, oh, leave it, it's not fard, it's not wajib, it's not necessary. And the person rejects the action. But when the rewards are seen and visible, we shouldn't leave the action. Maybe for this reason Allah said, I'll give them this opportunity, that out of my love and my words, how much yaqeen and belief do they have? Because fard is like a stick. If we don't do it, then the stick is beaten. Or if we don't go, then we'll have punishment, etc. But some actions are done out of love that Allah Ta'ala has put aside for us, to demonstrate our love. And that person carries out the actions of love, who has yaqeen, he's going to die, the rewards are going to come after death, and these rewards are good for this action. So alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. So many good things are written. Some pious elders have said that nawafil, voluntary actions, also this, that whatever is lacking in our fard, because obviously there's a lot lacking in our fard actions, compulsory, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the nawafil, voluntary actions, Allah will make up for the loss and the lacking and the gaps in the forest. So this is a great action of sunnah as well. We shouldn't be lazy. We shouldn't be laid back. Rather, we should understand this is a great treasure Allah has given. Oh no, leave it. Why do I have to pray this? Why do I have to keep this fast? This ghayr, it's not important, etc. No. When the Sahaba Ikram said, Ya Rasulullah, that at that time the Yahud were there, the Nasara, the Muslims were there, the different groups of people said they used to look at each other's culture. So the Sahaba Ikram, the noble company, said, Ya Rasulullah, the Jews, they observe this fast as a fard. They consider it as a fard, and they prepare a lot for this. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is this the case they fast as well? Then we'll do an additional action, which is that what we should do is that we should not go according to that practice, rather we should keep an extra fast the day before or the day after. Subhanallah. So Rasulullah said, if I stay alive to the next year, then in addition to the fast of Ashura, the day of Ashura, I will add another fast to it. So that's double benefit. So what a person should do, all mashallah ashiks are present, but Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnat al-mubarakah, which is there, that keep the fast on the 9th and the 10th, or keep the 10th and the 11th of Muharram. So keep the fast, two fasts, 9th and 10th, which 10th is the day of Ashura, or 10th and 11th, to make it 2 days. This is one point. And on top of this, Nabi Zazam's message that he's given to us within this is that with this ibadah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has preferred that we should have we should practice and follow. So haq and batil should not mix, because haq should always be apparent and batil should not be there, should not be visible. So a person should always live in such a way that he can differentiate between haq and batil, that this is true, this is false, this is good way, this is not the good way. So the biggest point here is to adhere to and follow Rasulullah. So what do we consider resemblance? We should resemble Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his practice, for example, to imitate and follow his ways. So here suddenly Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has drawn a line that this is also the recognition of truth, that if you imitate and follow those who are on the haq, then you will be with those who are on the haq, you'll be included with those people. If you follow and imitate a pious person, then you will be with the pious people in thereafter. And if you imitate somebody who's not on the haq, not on the right path, then you'll be included with that person in future. And another point, Allah's qanun, Allah's law, is that if a human being, if a person, he's following someone who's ghair, who's not correct, who's not practicing properly, and he does naqal and imitation, then Allah has given a punishment in the dunya. Allah Ta'ala says, due to that mushabah, due to that following and imitation, Allah says, then all of the wrong things, for example, if that person is used to lying or swearing or a futile talk and gossip, wasting of time, then the punishment for that individual who's following that person, because you've imitated somebody who's doing wrong actions, obviously, then all of those bad qualities will come into that person's life who's copying him. So here, this is a big point, that we have to be very cautious and we have to practice extreme caution. We consider this as a minor thing. Oh, what difference does it make? It makes a lot of difference. A lot of difference. We come to Salah, we're not cautious. And imagine if you're praying at Salah time, then who are you copying at that time? Who are you copying? That who are we following? If we come to the masjid, who are we following? So whoever we follow, then that color, that style, that tradition, culture will rub off onto us. So mushabat, to resemble, to follow, we should imitate that individual who we prefer, who we like. Or is it not the case? Is it not the case? We will accept that we like. We will follow that we like. We will practice that we like. It's not about imitation. It's to do with love and affection. That this person's got those style of glasses. I like the way they look. I want to wear the same style. So that thing becomes beloved. It's not just naqal. It's not talking about imitation, blind imitation. It's about what you like. And you'll always do what you like. Subhanallah. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's is the mahbub of Allah, and his resemblance, Allah, I have come with the resemblance of your mahbub. People like us, sinful people, say, Allah, we have nothing to our name, we have practiced nothing. In your court we are present after death, but we did one action in our life, that we have brought Allah actions that resemble the lifestyle of your mahbub. In reality, Allah, if you bring this, make this reality, because I've just brought an image, my practice isn't even good enough. What a great statement. So a person today, if he does amal on the beloved Nabi Sallam Zahiri, don't consider this as a small action. This is not minor. I accept it's not wajib, it's not farad, it's not this. Thousands of things we can say. But behind this, look at the law, the principle, how great it is. Look at the reward. Allah Ta'ala says that if you imitate Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then his safat qualities, characteristics, they will rub off onto you. The beloved of Allah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we imitate him, then his akhlaq will come into our life. His conduct style will come. For example, if you are imama, mashallah, you have a beard, you have white libas. Now, at this stage, okay, I won't look around here left and right to say, but mashallah, you won't stand in a group of people and smoke a cigarette, will you? You'll feel ashamed, won't you, amongst a crowd of people? And if, for example, if you're wearing this libas, there'll be a pipe. If you're wearing a different libas, you'll have a pipe or a cigar, and you'll be smoking, because you say, "Look, I look good and I look stylish smoking, etc. I'm advanced. Look at the difference." But here, when you're wearing the libas, the mushabat changes, the resemblance to Rasulullah gets closer, and you will feel ashamed that how can I do this action, showing the people, they'll see me. So by wearing the imamah of Rasulullah during the sunnah, if a person wants to be correct and shy away from, you can say, sins, a person who wants to be correct and do the right things, then first and foremost, the pious elders, they tell the salik to wear the libas, to wear the sunnah libas. They say, "Oh, he's stuck now, or he's fallen into a trap." But how will he get out of that web? So if a person steps forward, says, "No, I'll start tomorrow, I'll start part of that today, not today, tomorrow." Those who say, tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never comes. So the biggest action, the greatest action, effective, is that if an individual, man or woman, wants to become correct, better, don't play dramas, "Oh, do dua for me, do dua for my children," they start praying, "Do dua, this happens." No, there's a cure. There's a cure, straightforward, easy, direct. That doesn't matter how much sinful you are, whatever you do, wear the libas of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it, put it onto your children, and wear it yourself, alhamdulillah. And then see, your salah, your children will start to pray salah, you'll be ashamed. "Oh, wearing imamah, I've got the beard, wear the libas." What will people say? "I'm wearing imamah, this is bad if I don't do this, if I sin in front of these people, will it be good if I kept the beard and the imamah, and I sit in front of them and watch dramas? I'll feel ashamed." Put the mirror in front of yourself and analyze yourself. Reflect, isn't it? You'll feel ashamed. So the sunnah, it saves an individual from thousands of sins. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is also a great thing that Allah's massive favor, and the pious predecessors and our pious elders, the buzurgs, their great favor on us. That buzurg, the wali of Allah, who has given us a great favor of guidance and teaching, that his teaching of allowing the sunnah to rub off onto our life is so effectful. MashaAllah, the dunya can advise you and influence you to do many things, but to allow the sibghatullah, the color of Allah, which is the sunnah of Rasulullah, to rub onto your life, that can only occur through sohbat the sheikh, the company of the sheikh. Otherwise you cannot get that with the fadl of Allah. So even this, in this hadith, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, that I have shared with you, this is the total message that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to us. So many rewards, but the reason is what? That fine, you are keeping the fast, now keep two. Another point that comes out of here, that just as a saying, that another difficulty that's coming ahead. Oh, that for example, if they didn't keep the fast on the 10th, then we'd only keep one. We say this, oh, if they didn't keep the fast on the 10th, then we'd only have one fast to keep, not two. But the reason here is that Allah's Nabi said it totally on the Ummah today. Another difficulty may come, keep another fast, fine. But one thing, there should be no resemblance, similarity. So if such a time is coming, then if there's a difficulty or extra, say alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, no problem, we will try. So we stay in this libas, in this appearance, in this attire, we keep and spend our life like this. And if we are ashamed, and if we keep stepping back and doing U-turns, then the mufassireen, the commentators, have written a beautiful thing. And maybe I said this to you before, that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, the magicians who went to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, that all the magicians, they came into iman. All of them brought about iman. They came, iman came to the hearts. Not one was left, because they put a condition, didn't they? And the condition was this, that Musa alayhi salam, that the libas, Musa alayhi salam, and he was a Nabi, the Prophet, he had a beautiful libas, this was his sunnah. So the king said that you will wear this libas. That they said that we should also have a uniform and appearance, we're going to oppose this person. So they said, "What we'll do, whatever he's wearing, we'll also wear the same attire." Allahu Akbar, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's it. And then their destiny changed for the better. Qismat, that he's worn this, so I'll wear this as well, and I'll go to Eid. We say this, "Oh, he's worn the imamah, okay, I'll wear the imamah on Jummah as well." This is also a great action. So the people who came to oppose Musa alayhi salam, the partners of Fir'aun, to oppose the deen, they were the enemies of Allah. What did they do? Whose naqal did they do? Who did they imitate? Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And out of enmity that we will also wear this libas, and we will go against him and show him that we can also wear this. So with all this libas, and they started to try to cast their magic and their spells, but they lost. And after losing, then obviously They should have gone worse and further away from the deen. But they brought iman into Musa alayhi salam and his Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. they blame the Mufassireen, the commentators, are beautiful thing. What was the reason that Allah Ta'ala gave them iman? Allah gave them hidayah, isn't it? Iman and belief. What's the reason? So the reason for giving hidayah, the Mufassireen have written, the reason for giving hidayah was Allah Ta'ala said the reason for this was that as long as they were in a different libas, different attire, different appearance, Allah said, I'd prepared adab for them, punishment. But when on Musa alayhi salam, they imitated you and wore your attire and looked like you, then how can I give them adab? My rahmah did not allow that anybody who imitates a Nabi and looks like a Nabi, a prophet, then why should I give this person hidayah rather than adab? SubhanAllah. So it doesn't matter how much a sinful a person is. We have iman. We might be off track. Without hidayah guidance, our children may be off track. The first action we should try to do, whatever condition we're in, try to bring whoever is off track towards the sunnah with love, affection. Okay, wear this out of fashion. Okay, we'll do it like this. And slowly, slowly introduce and give the habit of the sunnah to the children. It's not a cultural tradition. This is part of our deen. This is a total part of deen. Keeping the beard, wearing a mama, doing miswag, or applying surma to the eyes. This is part of our deen. This isn't something in opposition to anyone. We're not competing with anybody, trying to show off to others, or enmity with us, or giving fatwa, or against any other group, or nation, or tribe. But no, this is not the case. This is the practice of Muslims. It's a part of our deen to dress accordingly. Out of love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a demand that we should look like him, practice like him, and adhere to his principles. We don't say to people, oh, you're like this, we'll do this, we're opposite to you, we're different to you. No, there's no threat. The sunnah doesn't threat anybody. We have no threat against people or anyone in the locality or the nation. No, but this is the support for our deen, that if we follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have itiqad in this, we believe that we'll get rewards and blessings, but not that we are competing with anybody. So if somebody understands this, fine. We don't try to impose ourselves on others or look negatively at others who don't practice like us. The sunnah, mashallah, outward and inwardly, is a benefit for us, and that's why we practice it. So this is the case, alhamdulillah. We should do amal on the sunnah. With the barakah of Ashura, there's a link to the sunnah, and a big message of practicing the sunnah comes to us. So in every way form, we should do this. But remember one thing, that the more a person gets closer to the haq, the truth, the more the tests arise. The challenges arise. Remember this. We go opposite. That the closer we get to Allah, then we want to mess around more and compromise more. Yeah, the rewards are there. Rewards are there. A lot of rewards. Untold rewards. But not in the dunya and the jannah. In paradise. SubhanAllah. So you have to wait for this. Not that the question doesn't arise. Then the path of Allah, you're doing amal and practicing and you're feeling difficult, or people are mocking you or swearing at you or dragging you or disrespecting you. No one should criticize or complain at that time. You shouldn't feel negative or upset in your heart at that time. Say, Alhamdulillah, Allah, in your path, there's difficulty. What a great reward for me. What a great fruit me. In the world I strive. What do I get out of striving? Out of thousands of difficulties in the path of the world, we get many difficulties, isn't it? When we're trying to make a living or living in the world, dunya, you're waiting for the bus, a bus ain't coming. Is it difficulty for deen or dunya? Dunya. How bad a person feels? 5 minutes are left, you need to get to work, and the bus is broken down. How will you feel? There'll be difficulty for you, pain. You'll feel upset, distressed. Is there thawab for this? No. Yeah, but when you persevere through the difficulties of practicing deen, you're doing amal on the path of Allah and you're getting thawab. Allah says, don't worry, persevere, have patience, take the burden, don't do choo 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 and complain. Yeah, you can complain, bus is late, look at your watch, make noise. But when the deen comes and there's difficulty for you and you're being mocked at or laughed at, jeered at, then do my dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, do my dhikr, remember me, yeah? Don't just stand empty-handed. Do my dhikr. Remember, this is the sign that you are happy with Allah. Yeah, don't stay quiet. Allah says, if you stay quiet, then it looks like due to shaitan inside you, there's a blot and there's complaint. No, what should we do when difficulties come in? Allah, 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 dhikr, Allah, Allah in the heart. Why? Because alhamdulillah, Allah, I'm not on my own. That Allah, you've given me difficulty in practicing the deen. This is a great reward for me and a test for me. But don't look for the rewards here in the world, planet Earth. Yeah, here, not tit for tat. I've got complaints. Allah, give me this. I do this, X, Y, Z. Well, I've got problems. Always I get persecuted. My home, my family, my husband, he hits me, or this and that. Hit more. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased, said, you can hit me more to those people who are persecuting me. And look, if you see Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the signs on his body, the scars on the back, Allahu Akbar. There wasn't just signs, but there were, you can say, they were like slits. Yes, not just scars. And Hazrat Umar said, what is this? There was a sahabi, and he said, please don't let me repeat this story of where all these scars have come from, these wounds. He said, when I used to lie down on the ground, leave your friend, leave the Prophet Muhammad, they used to lay me down on hot sand, and the hot sand used to melt our skin, and after the skin was burnt, then the wound would come, and then the fire, how would it extinguish? Through the water and the pus that would come out of our wounds, that would extinguish the fire. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he started to cry, that subhanallah. Did he ever complain? Did he criticize? Did he go from the deen? Why am I not Khalifa? Said this great Sahabi. What, did he ever complain? Or why is it, I've got that much land? How many acres will I get? How much road? And will I get cars and vehicles, etc.? No, they never complain. We say, oh, we go to business, no, to money and woods. No, the more we start praying, we go to take U-turns and complain, but we don't get what we want. Yes, we pray. When we pray, we start testing. Oh, am I getting more in the dunya? My brothers, in the path of Allah, we should never fear. We should never complain. If we're doing amal on the sunnah, problems will come. Difficulties will come. Challenges will come. Just stay firm. Stand straight. There's ajr. There's reward for the deen. A lot of ajr, and we'll get the ajr inshallah. So this was the fadila, the virtues of Ashura. Alhamdulillah, we've heard a lot now, haven't we? So will we practice on this? This is a true promise? Okay, then remember this point, that tomorrow night, I've told you the hadith about this, isn't it? What did I say in the hadith? Does anyone remember? That the Ashura night, whoever does dhikr, ibadah, worship, I said this hadith, didn't I? Have you forgotten? Yes, you remember? Then the person who does dhikr and remembers Allah on the night of Ashura, he will die, his life will be extracted, and he won't even feel it. Are we going to die? I'm going to die, isn't it? You? Then come tomorrow. Imagine, will we do laziness tomorrow? Will we do dhikr tomorrow? No, rather bring another 5 or 6 of your friends as well. Come on, brothers, you human beings, sit down, get reward. Yes, we do dhikr, isn't it, on Wednesday? Yes, so do dua for me, and I come there, and you come there, and if life stays, we don't know, it's another 24 hours, then the guarantee, but make niyyah now, make intention. If we can't come, at least we'll get the thawab, won't we? So this is the dawah invitation I've given to you, and this is called dawah, invitation. This is proper invitation, alhamdulillah. Not for food and a feast, this is the invitation to Jannah, paradise. Yes? If I said to you that I will deliver you to Jannah, and somebody said, oh, look what he says to people, I'll take you to Jannah, I will help you to get to Jannah, and people criticize me that he's deceiving people, I'll take you to Jannah, that how can he take people into Jannah, I can guarantee, I'll say, even now inshallah, I will go myself and I'll take you as well. Subhanallah, I will take from every majlis, every gathering, inshallah, that Mawlana Sahib doesn't know, then what can I say to him, how can I solve his problem, his confusion? Isn't this the case? That we are going to Jannah, inshallah. This is the path. There's no other way. That's why we sat here. The path to Jannah. And why have we come from our homes? There were mosques in between, weren't there? Before I got to this masjid. Isn't it, Haji Sahib? Why have you come to this masjid? Why? Why have you come to this masjid? Are you mad? Why have you taken your time out and come this far? Why? Because you want to go to Jannah. That's it. End of the story. Straightforward. So we want to go to paradise. That's why we sat here. So tomorrow, whoever wants to come, we'll go to where? Whoever comes tomorrow? To Jannah. So don't say, I'm going to go to this masjid. Whoever has heard this in Makki Masjid. Not that, oh, the majlis should be here. I can't go to another. Whoever wants to go to Jannah will come to where? To the majlis tomorrow. Just like we are here today in Makki Masjid. So we had yaqeen. And whoever doesn't come from here to tomorrow's masjid, we cannot say anything. Full stop. I won't say anything further than that. He knows that he's losing out. That's it. Yes, so the feet don't go further than our local masjid. No, we have to try. And that person will be left behind. He will lose. So I am hopeful that nobody will be left behind. Great hadith this is. Yes, and death is severe, it's going to come. And this is the reward. So many du'as, Rasulullah has taught us to be saved from mouth and its tests and challenges. Many du'as to be saved from the severity of death. Rasulullah has taught us the du'as. And the Nabi has given us an easy solution. That if one day in the year, the night of Ashura, you get it and you sit and do dhikr, then Allah's Nabi is giving guarantee. Guarantee you will die in such a way you won't even realize you're dying. It'll be so easy, your death. So smooth. Recite Durood Sharif.